Sonny, I'm very excited about this guest. I think it's going to be a really interesting and informative show. What do you think? I know you've done some looking into this.
Yes, I think so too. I was just telling you, I have not done annotating like this, I think, since I was like in college. So I'm excited for this. I'm ready and I'm prepared.
Yes, me too. And we're happy that the viewer, are with us as well, because this is the Line Drive Podcast. So without further ado, we will bring in that special guest, John McLaughlin, pollster extraordinaire, one of the most well-known and accurate pollsters in the United States of America and indeed the world, currently and still polling for the Trump campaign. John, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it. Where in the world are you joining us from today?
Budapest, one of the NATO allies.
Wow.
So that's they have amazing. A good conservative government, so that's good.
That's great to hear. Great to hear. Well, doing God's work, I'm sure, wherever you are. Yeah. So thanks very much for making time, because I know it's late at night over in Budapest. And so we'll try to be respectful of all that and all that stuff. Let's talk about the American political scene, though, for a second here and the presidential race. And you are handling polling for former President Trump, as you did in 2020, a lot of it. How does this race here we are the year before the actual election year? How does this race look right now as far as the whole field? What do you think?
Well, because Joe Biden is probably the worst president in the history of the United States, it looks a lot better than 2016 and 2020. I mean, we still have a good ways to go. But when you consider where Donald Trump was November, December, people weren't sure he was going to run again. And he's come back with a vengeance. And by the way, I saw the president over a week ago twice in the 1 week, and I said to him, I said, the only crime you've committed is you're ahead in the polls. And relevant to how we're doing this year versus, say, 2016 or 2020, we were never ahead in the national popular polls. And it was always going to be an electoral victory in battleground states. And out of the 139 million that voted in 2016, we won by 78,000 votes and scattered among three states. Mm-hmm. We lost the national popular. In 2020, it was even closer, 44,000 votes in three states decided the outcome, but we lost the national popular vote. Last week, our latest nationwide poll that we published on McLaughlinOnline.com of 1,000 likely voters showed Trump beating Biden 49-44. We're not alone, because now we do likely voters. Most of the media polls do registered voters. They don't bother screen. It's more expensive, but they don't bother screening for likely voters. They just take any registered voter. But still, in the Real Clear Politics average, the president's been ahead. He was a little ahead today. That means it's going to be a Trump landslide in the national popular vote. So, you know, when you get the Washington Post saying he's ahead, Harris X Harvard, Harris X Messenger, which is the Harris X Harvard poll, is Mark Penn. And he was Hillary Clinton's pollster. He's got us up six. And, you dealt with the Washington Post so many times.
Yeah. But I'm still standing, though. I'm still here, John.
When ABC and the Washington Post have us ahead, it tells you Biden's in trouble. And and Rasmussen reports the only likely voter pollster on the Real Clear Politics average, they have us up 6 points. So compared to you know, the past two elections that President Trump was in, this is much better at this point in time. But it's sad, because the country, when you look at our last national poll, 67% of all voters say the country's on the wrong track. They say that the economy is getting worse, not better. 6 out of 10 voters, 2-to-1 ratio. And when you say 84% of the voters have been impacted by inflation, where they think economics and inflation are the top issue, they've been negatively impacted by inflation, and 44% to the point that they can't make ends meet for basic necessities. That's a really bad number. And when you get numbers like that, Biden's job disapproval is 56. Mm-hmm. And we're beating him 44 in the polls. So we could go a little higher. We keep turning this on a referendum on Biden. And, you know, the big story yesterday was Biden's latest inquisitor against Trump, Jack Smith, released leaked out a tape of Trump on what talking about whatever the documents he had.
Right.
You know, I mean, when they do that, it's to create a diversion so no one asks about, hey, President Biden, what about those Burisma tapes you're on with your son Hunter Biden?
Right.
That should be at the top of every news page, and it's not. So
right. All the WhatsApp texts, they released another one today where, you know, Hunter's threatening the Chinese energy executive, yes. And he's saying, my dad is sitting here with me right now. We're waiting for your phone call. And right. That, I mean, that completely undercuts Biden's claim that he never discussed his business with Hunter. Yes. So either Hunter is lying or Joe is lying. That's a tough spot to be in. But, you know, you mentioned Biden, and I'll get Sonny, I know, has done a lot of looking into these things, and we'll want to talk to you about it. But one more. Biden, you mentioned Biden about how, you know, worst president in history, and he's doing Trump or any Republican a favor by being so bad in this next election. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they must know that too, right? They poll things too every day. Yes. The president's team is polling things. But then you see, you just went through the economic calamity that is Biden,
right,
and inflation and everything. But if you see a White House spokesman just today, when asked about the, I think it was a question about the president's approval rating, said that Americans are very aware of Joe Biden's economic policies and those policies are very popular. That's absolutely not true. I mean, that's a completely right. vacant, empty claim. There is no poll anywhere
right.
that shows that. So right. they are, instead of addressing what Joe Biden's real electoral problems are going to be, one of them is certainly the economy, front and center. Instead of addressing that, they're pretending that everyone else is wrong.
Mm. Right.
right? I mean, so isn't that doing everybody a favor? What poll numbers could they be looking at that lead them to believe that there is good news in there somewhere for Biden?
They don't tell the truth and they expect everyone to go along with them. I mean, when you look at, I'll give you the classic case of media, what I call diversion. After, in the Trump campaign, after Biden ordered Bragg to indict the president, and by the way, if you don't think Trump's ahead, just figure out why they're indicting, where they're indicting Trump on these political charges. Most Americans see it's totally political, even in the bad CNN polls and the other polls that we sometimes find as outliers, that they don't have enough Trump voters or something. You know, they know it's political. And when you have, when you look at the polls that we had, 82% after the Biden-Bragg indictment of all voters knew that Bragg had indicted Trump because of the media coverage. At the end of May, we took a national survey after Congressman Comer from Kentucky and the House Republicans released banking records proving the Biden family got millions of dollars from communist China. After they released that, only 55% of all voters knew. Why? Because the media doesn't cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what the real detrimental effect of that is. If they're in the 55% that are aware, Trump beats Biden 60-33. If they're not, and if they're in the 45% not aware, Biden wins 52-33.
So didn't we? You found that to be the same situation about the laptop at the end of the 2020 election, right?
Right. Brent Bozell, Media Research Center, on Election Day in 2020, had a question in our exit poll if they were aware of Hunter Biden's laptop scandal, and 36% of the Biden voters were not. And we asked them if they knew about it, would they have changed their vote? And 13% of those Biden voters would change their vote and Trump would still be president.
Right. And that would be enough to have altered the election. Yep. Yeah. Sonny, go ahead.
Well, John, I just want to backtrack a little bit because as I was reading these polls, I realized that I myself honestly don't know a ton about polling. So I was wondering if you could just talk about what methods you use. And I know you talked a little bit about how you compare to other pollsters, you know, when it comes to registered voters versus likely voters. Could you just talk about that a little bit?
Right. And I can get in the weeds in that. I actually do have a 20th century degree in quantitative methods.
He says that the 20th century was a long time ago, Sonny. That's what
right.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we keep up now on, you know, I mean, a lot of these, the national polls we do is an online survey and we pioneered it because over 90% of the people are online and only a quarter of the voters now have landlines. So you have to adapt with the technology. But in the meantime, what's more important about it is, you know, you have recent examples of what a real election looked like. You have the media exit polls from 2020. You have the media exit polls from 2016. And you have the midterms in between. So you have, and plus you have voter histories, and you've got both sides, Republicans, Democrats, they have databases of, you know, all the voters in the United States. So you can literally call, it's more expensive to do it this way, but it's more accurate. You can call off a voter list. You can ask people if they're likely to vote. You can also do a text to web survey, so you don't have to use a live interviewer. So you get, you know, more honest results. But you have to do it in a way that represents the election, that it's, you know, a likely model what's going to come out. And you know, when you're looking at some of these polls, like the Quinnipiac poll that came out that had Trump down 4, they had only 25% Republicans in their sample of adults. Adults, there's over 300 million people in America, and you have, in the last election, which was a record for president, you had 160 million voters come out. Now, that means of the registered group, 90 million voters or eligible voters didn't vote. So they're in these surveys of adults. They're in the surveys of registered voters, but they're not going to come out and vote. What's interesting is the likely voter samples, if they're modeled after the 2020 election or the 2022 election or recent elections, those voters are going to come out, and if they're screened for how likely they are, the Trump voters, I mean, they will come out through blizzards. They'll come out through forest fires. They will come out. So you know, a lot of these polls, like I was mentioning, Quinnipiac, okay, they had Trump down 4, but they only had 25% Republicans in their sample. We know in the exit polls in 2020, we were 36%. For some reason, you know, 11 points disappeared. And you know, you've seen the last two presidentials. They say, oh, Trump screws up the polls because they were off. They didn't really predict how close it was going to be. And by the way, a lot of these pollsters don't like me, because when they said there was a Hillary lock in 2016, I was saying, no, it's going to be a really close election. Trump's going to win. And by the grace of God and Donald Trump, it was 78,000 votes. I happen to be right, but but it was a lot of hard work to get there. And the last election, 2020, in spite of all the early voting and the drop boxes and the, you know, all the, you know, I don't think there was any like secret Dominion kind of stuff going on. I always thought it was just, I'm from New York, plain old ballot stuffing. You know, you tell the Democrats, they can pile in a bunch of ballots. You know, you'll get a lot of paper in that drop box. You'll get, you know, a lot of mail coming back. And we were losing them, you know, we were losing the early vote, like 2-1. We had to make it up on election day, and it was close. Yeah. This time around, we're a lot smarter. We're going to work a lot harder. And the key is voter ID. Like Georgia, we fixed the election law. The late Speaker Ralston fixed it. So you need voter ID for absentees. You need voter ID for in person. And they screen all the racist. I mean, come on, everybody has voter ID. And then, you know, they moved the Major League Baseball All-Star game. They still had early voting. They still had absentees. And guess what? You didn't have unsecured drop boxes. And you had high turnout elections in Georgia where, the governor and everybody got reelected statewide. And we lost a close Senate race. But it was an election.
At the risk of changing the topic, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but man, oh man, that Major League Baseball All-Star game getting yanked out of Atlanta. And I don't love Atlanta or the Atlanta Braves or anything. It's a perfectly fine city, but what a disgraceful move by MLB that was. If they really were that upset about it and they thought that there was evidence that it was absolutely 100% overtly racist what Georgia was doing, then how could they allow the Atlanta Braves to maintain a franchise there? Right? Well, if it was that offensive, they'd have to get the team out of there. But they won't do that.
No. And it was, by the way, Line Drive with your show. It's like appropriately named for this.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
But remember, Joe Biden, President Biden, called the audible. He said it was Jim Crow. He was casting terms to drive out, you know, to drive out African-American voters. And it was wrong. And the ironic part is by moving the All-Star game, you cost the mainly minority business community in Atlanta $100 million. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately, if you're a Georgian, they got them back because the Braves won the World Series.
I know. That must have been driving the commissioner crazy. So
it's the elections.
That's so great.
They should be proud of that.
Yeah. So you've mentioned a number of times that President Trump is far ahead in this race, and every poll has him far ahead. Why? Why is he ahead? Why is he? Why talking about on the Republican side in the primary? Why is he so far ahead of Ron DeSantis? And then there's everybody else in the other pack behind him.
Right. And well, I think the first thing is you compare Donald Trump's record as president to Joe Biden. And, you know, I mean, ever since Biden, you can see on our website at McLaughlinOnline.com, the ballot, Trump versus Biden. Trump went ahead nationally the month after Biden surrendered Afghanistan. Yeah. And he stayed ahead. And you know, when you think about what a calamity that was on a historic level for America and the world, I mean, after that, Putin got the signal that he could go into Ukraine. That would have never happened if Trump was president. President Trump told me he thought at one point during his presidency, Putin was going to go into Ukraine. And this has been reported in the media. He told him, don't go in because I'll bomb Moscow. No problems out of Putin after that. But the reality is they respected him. But also the economy was growing. The Trump tax cuts worked. People's incomes were growing. And now you look at Joe Biden and you got inflation. And when you look at the polls, when Trump got in it, I thought a key moment is when he went to East Palestine. Because there's the heartland. When you look at the Trump coalition, it's a heartland of America coalition. He wins the states in the heartland. And then we battle for a handful of states in the South Atlantic, Georgia, North Carolina, et cetera. Florida is now a reliably red state, part of the heartland. We're battling over Great Lakes states and Rocky Mountain states. But the Heartland Coalition is put together by the working men and women. He's transformed the Republican Party. And Ron DeSantis went in with a message that was, you know, he was a good governor, but he went in with a message of, or it was really no message. I'll be Trump without being Trump, which is not a problem. So he's going to copy him on the issues. Well, if you want the real thing, you vote for Trump. The other thing is I can beat Joe Biden and Trump can't. Well, the polls are proving that wrong. So the reality is Trump has grown in the primary. Trump went, we had a nationally in a multi, you know, and it's not a national primary, but in a multi-candidate field, Trump was ahead 42-31 DeSantis in January, 5 for Pence. Well, our last national poll last week had Trump ahead where he was at 52%, DeSantis at 20. So DeSantis had gone down. Not only did Trump go up, conservatives are going back to Trump. They're leaving DeSantis. And you got Pence, and now you got Tim Scott tied at 5. And in Iowa, among likely caucus goers, we had Trump ahead June 12th with 51, DeSantis at 19. Moving into third place was Tim Scott at 9 because he's getting more moderate votes. Mm-hmm. And then you have Pence at 6. But and one-on-one, in January, Trump was beating DeSantis one-on-one 52-40. But then Trump showed such determination. He goes to East Palestine. He goes to South Carolina. He goes to New Hampshire. He's going to today. He's in New Hampshire. And New Hampshire, they got him gaining, you know, widening his lead over DeSantis again. But one on one, Trump over DeSantis nationwide, we got 68-32. DeSantis has no place to go because the majority of conservatives have gone back to Trump. They want him and not Biden. And now it looks like DeSantis is an establishment DC candidate, you know, running against the heartland where he's hurting their candidate who can beat Joe Biden. And Joe Biden, on the other hand, we cannot forget this. Joe Biden is indicting his political opponent. The man is crossing the line. I mean, when in the Iowa survey we took, 62% of the Iowa caucus goers think Joe Biden ordered the indictment of President Trump, and only 25% said no. And no one is looking right now. The media should be asking. I mean, it's crazy now. There's no Washington Post, no Woodward and Bernstein anymore. But there's a New York Post.
God bless the New York Post. Yes.
They did, to their credit, they did the laptop story before anyone else. Now they've been vindicated. Oh, yeah. Trump's been vindicated by John Durham's report. There's no Russian collusion, no nothing. They wasted our time and money. And the media credibility is shot. And the big tech's credibility is shot, although Facebook and Twitter have put the president back on. So people are looking for the truth, and they're angry. They're upset because the average household has lost $7,000 a year in value of their dollar to buy you know, for commodities and basic necessities.
Tell me about it.
Right. I mean,
yeah. Sonny's about Sonny's about to have a baby, John, and
I am.
You got to be worried about how much stuff. Got to be worried about how much stuff costs. You know.
Yeah, right. I know. I'm starting to pay attention to it.
Yes, and by the way, I hope you have a good baby shower.
Well, thank you. Me too.
Invite everyone. But
yes.
My wife and I raised five kids, and I got seven granddaughters. Let me tell you. They're very happy when we give Pampers and stuff like that.
Seven grand. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. But it's good though, because when you think about it, the average person, July 4th, when they go out to do a barbecue, think about what they did, you know, compared to before COVID, and look at the prices. I mean, you know, a lot of people are saying, I can't afford steaks this year. And, you know, I'm going back to hamburgers and stuff. And it's just not, we've changed our lifestyle because our standard of living is declining because of Joe Biden.
Can I ask, sorry to cut you off, Tim,
because
you mentioned the indictment a little bit, and we've seen President Trump has gone up in his poll numbers after each indictment, which as crazy as that sounds. Do you think there are rumors that there are going to be more lawsuits against him? Do you think that we're going to see that trend continue, or do you think people will get frustrated with that and with that drama? How do you think that's going to play out?
It's going to continue. Because the media is letting it continue. They're watching and they're encouraging the mainstream media, where they're watching the incumbent president of the United States indict his leading political opponent, where you're probably going to see Fulton County indict him. There's a Soros prosecutor there, you know, a perfectly good phone call where he said, you know, find me some votes. I mean, I can't tell you how many candidates in a close election have called, said, let's go find some votes. Going to Connie Mack, Fob James. I can tell you that it happens. But they're legitimate, honest votes. And they just want to make sure they count it right. But on the other hand, so you got that one coming. Jack Smith isn't done. Jack Smith, who was appointed by Merrick Garland, who is Joe Biden's handpicked attorney general, is coming in with some sort of January 6th grand jury, and he's going to indict him again. And it's going to happen because Donald Trump's ahead of Joe Biden. And you know, this is scary because, you know, what they're doing is they're turning Donald Trump into the Nelson Mandela of America, where, you know, I mean, he's literally, it's so transparent. My clients here in Europe say, this is what the communists did when they took over our country. And it's happening in America. And, you know, the ABC, NBC, and CBS, this is another Media Research Center study, found the week that Trump got indicted, those three networks dedicated 250 minutes to coverage of that on broadcast news. Zero in terms of the Hunter Biden bribes from China and Burisma. Zero.
Of course.
That's why Biden will go ahead and do this, and the Democrats will go ahead and do this, because they do it without fear, because the media is never going to say, wait a minute, how can you be indicting your political opponent? Instead, what the media does is that they cheer it, they follow it like it's a, you know, they're reporting on a car crash or something, and then they immediately pivot to what does this mean for the election. Never once do they ever question, is this whole thing even proper? You know, should somebody be indicting their political opponents? And, you know, I guess the media is like, yeah, as long as it's the right person getting indicted, we're all for it. That's their point of view. But could there ever be a tipping point where, for Trump supporters, maybe not, you know, the core of the Trump supporters, but for some Trump supporters, where they say, you know, the guy's been indicted four times. I'm tired of it. Let's move on to someone else. Is there a tipping point where that conceivably could happen?
No, I don't think so. Because as long as Trump is fighting, although when I saw the president, I said to him, there's better ways to make your poll numbers go up. Because when you think about
better ways than getting indicted, you mean?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, probably.
And it's not his fault. I mean, his fault is he's an anti-establishment candidate where the D.C. establishment fears him. And the first time he won, we had a phone call. He called me 2 days before Christmas when he was president-elect. And he says we had a poll that, you know, most voters at the time approved what he was doing as president-elect. And he says to me, he says, I just want to thank you again. I said, well, we didn't make you pay for a landslide. And he says, what do you mean? It was a huge win. I said, no, it was only 78,000 votes over three states, Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin. And he says, but it was a big electoral victory. I said, no, really, Obama had more.
he says to me, yeah, he wanted to hear that, I'm sure.
And he says, in silence, I said to him on the phone, though, I said, seriously, I said, Mr. President, I said, this was a historic victory because you beat the Republican establishment and you beat the D.C. establishment. And no one has ever done that. Maybe you have to go back to Andrew Jackson. And by the way, when I went into the Oval Office the first time, he had Andrew Jackson's painting up over his desk. But the reality is the D.C. establishment is going nuts. But on the other hand, the heartland, to your question, the heartland is sticking with him. Republican voters are outraged by this. I mean, in that Iowa survey I told you, 73% of the voters say that it's all about stopping him from being president. 16% say he only committed crimes. Only 16% think he committed crimes. So they're outraged about this. They think that Biden is doing this, which he is. I believe it. It's fully transparent. You've got a sitting president of the United States who's got a corrupt and weaponized Justice Department, FBI, who's indicting his political opponents. And most Americans think if they get away with this with Trump, they will do it to any political opponent. Plus, with all those new IRS agents and with what they're doing with the FBI, they can investigate any American for political reasons. So I mean, Tim and Sonny, you guys got to deal with the press where you get to, play this game with them. But at some point, if they don't cover the story and put this out there, what's going to happen is, when you get to be a Marxist socialist country, there's only one media. It's the state. And you work for the government station, and that's it. And like China, I can't poll in China. They don't allow it.
Right. Yeah. Why would you want to test opinions when there's only one acceptable opinion?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Shouldn't every question should be 100-0?
Yes.
Right.
So that's what's at stake here. So I think we're going to get more intense in support for President Trump as this gets more ruthless from the Biden administration. The only thing that could turn it is if Trump keeps beating Joe Biden in the national polls, I think at some point the media turns on him, covers the corruption, and then you may have a different Democrat opponent.
Well, I think that's already started a little bit because the last thing, that WhatsApp text from Hunter where he was threatening the Chinese businessman and he said, my dad's here and we're waiting for the call. The New York Times wrote about that. And in previous instances, and a CNN had a segment that was actually particularly bad for Biden because they were talking about how it undermines his claims that he never talked about Hunter and somebody's lying in this situation. It's either the president or his son. And that's not a good spot to be in if you're the president and a father. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think they are starting to crack a little because that WhatsApp text from Hunter was just it was too much to ignore. At a certain point, those things are going to be, guys, we can't legitimately call ourselves journalists and not write stories about these things. You would think. I mean, that's my hope. So, but when this stuff happens, John, what does it say? Because I know that the opponents in the primary of President Trump are reading the same kind of polling, not your polls necessarily, but other public polls and their own. And so when the indictments happen, most of them are forced to put out statements that basically support Trump, which must just drive them nuts. They're trying to beat the man, and they have to keep issuing statements sticking up for him. How are you going to catch the guy? How are you going to catch up to him in a race if you're forever having to say positive things about him in public? I mean, that's insane. That's crazy.
Well, first of all, out of the opponents, there are some that have been critical of Trump, like Asa Hutchinson and Chris Christie.
I meant of those who have a chance to win.
See, but that's the point. They're down to low single digits, and some of these polls are plus or minus 3%. They could be minus two.
Minus two.
They do that because really, in effect, they're taking Joe Biden's position, and for the other ones, they're in a tough spot because, if Trump wasn't there, it would be them, and they would make it up. I mean, if one of them had a shot at beating Joe Biden, God knows what the FBI would find or the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. This is really out of hand right now. I mean, you're seeing, average people, like they indicted the president's aide who moved boxes of the documents to try to get him to flip. I mean, there's been Trump supporters who have gone to jail. Hunter Biden gets off for a gun crime that any other U.S. attorney would have sent him to something. and they're sending him to some sort of program that he
How about that? That this whole thing, if you're a Democrat, right? Yeah. You're probably opposed to the Second Amendment.
Right.
You want stricter and tougher gun laws. And in fact, your ultimate goal is gun confiscation and the outlawing of all firearms, right? Mm-hmm. And now you see a guy who is well connected to a very powerful political family, and he gets popped for a gun charge, mm-hmm. for lying on his application, lying on the federal form, and then the gun by someone else, I think his sister-in-law slash girlfriend, toss it into a dumpster near a school, right?
Yeah.
And all these anti-gun Democrats look at this crime involving this gun and the careless and the lying about obtaining the gun in the first place, and they go, "Meh, that's no big deal." Yeah. They hate guns, but suddenly this one is they found the one gun crime, one that has ever existed that they're okay with.
They're fine with that.
It's astounding.
Well, actually. For the honest, real anti-Second Amendment people, they don't know the facts that you just adroitly ran through, because CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, and MSNBC have not just said what you've said on the air. And so, you know, so this is part of the facts that we have to get out that we're fighting against all the time, because I think most Americans we've seen in our poll, and most Americans see that there's a double standard of justice, and Hunter Biden's getting a sweetheart deal because they're protecting Joe Biden. And most Americans know that. And, you know, the thing that they don't know, like, for example, we asked in that May survey, where I mentioned the disparity of those who knew versus those that didn't know. When we told them that Hunter Biden's clients from communist China donated $105 million to the Biden Penn Center at the University of Pennsylvania, when we told them that, then they were voting for Trump, and it wasn't a 4.5-point lead, it was 49-37, 12-point lead. And, you know, so if those facts go out, I mean, the media can pull the trapdoor on Joe Biden whenever they want. And, you know, then all of a sudden you might have Robert F. Kennedy winning a primary. You might have.
Yeah.
And speaking of things that Democrats are newly okay with, on the flip side, they finally found a Kennedy that they're okay with trashing.
That's true.
You know? Yeah.
But the ironic part is here, since I'm an old man, I remember when Johnson, G. McCarthy got 40% of the vote in New Hampshire against Johnson. Then he got beat in Wisconsin by Jim McCarthy, so LBJ pulled out. And RFK was able to get into the race. And now, historically, you got RFK's son playing the Jim McCarthy role. Because once Biden gets wounded, there's going to be a flood of candidates. I mean, Newsom, the rest of them, they're all going to come in. His vice president will be watching what he
does. Oh, gosh.
But, oh, yeah, she's impeachment insurance, Kamala Harris. She's less popular than he is. But when you look at it, you know, and you say, you know, and another irony is, this is Ted Kennedy's nephew. Ted Kennedy was the one who primaried Jimmy Carter. And Carter was able to, he was losing to Ted in the polls at first, then Ted Kennedy couldn't tell Roger Mudd, was it Roger Mudd? Why he wanted to be president.
Right, why he ran for president, yeah.
Jimmy Carter went back ahead. But there's a lot of historical ironies with that. And I think, you know, like Biden changed the rules of delegate selection in the Democrats for a reason. There's no Iowa caucus with delegates. They're trying to bring it back, the Iowa Democrats, because they're insulted and they're hurt. The New Hampshire Democrats are more angry because their first in the nation primary, no delegates go with it. And they're going to have it because you got a Republican legislature governor that are going to have a primary on that day. The Republicans will pick delegates, the Democrats won't. That's where Kennedy and the angry New Hampshire Democrats can ambush Biden right before the South Carolina primary. So Biden, the first state they're going to have that allocates delegates is going to be South Carolina, because that's who saved him 4 years ago when he was in trouble. So we'll see. We'll see if he gets that far. But he could, if the media wants to pull the trap door on him because he's losing to Trump, they'll do that. But then we'll just deal with the next Democrat that comes along.
Well, John.
Go ahead, Sonny. Go ahead.
Before we let you go, because I know we're probably running close on time, I just wanted to ask you about the Iowa poll. I think the most recent one I saw had Trump up 32 against DeSantis. Do you think, is that, you know, specific to Iowa, or are we just seeing that in all the states and across the nation?
Yeah, you're seeing it in all the states. We had him up in Iowa 51-19 over DeSantis, but DeSantis has no place to go. And like I said, he's worried about Tim Scott coming up on him, because Tim Scott will get the moderates and the more, somewhat more likely voters, some of the more conservative caucus goers. Mm-hmm. And DeSantis will be stuck with a fraction of the conservatives that Trump doesn't have. So I think that's happening. And today there was a poll of Republicans in New Hampshire by St. Anselm's, and Trump was ahead, widened his lead to 47-19. Nationally, I mentioned that Trump has a lead 52-20. So it's, you know, Trump keeps getting stronger every day. And people that are paying attention, that actually see, he's putting out a video every week, or sometimes more than 1 week, about what he's going to do as president again. People that are listening to his speeches, people that are hearing the substance, what he's going to do to fix immigration, what he's going to do to keep the economy or get it growing again, to bring rein in inflation, what he's going to do to make America strong, what he's going to do to stand up to China, what he's going to do to fix the tariffs and trade policies again. Not so much. I don't think he's interested in tariffs for the sake of tariffs. I think he's interested in, if you put tariffs on us, we'll reciprocate. And if you want free trade, we'll reciprocate. Mm-hmm. So, they're hearing so many positive solutions and policies from Trump, and they can go onto his website and they can see it on Rumble. They can see it on social media. And, so people are looking and saying, he's going to be a better president this time around. And, you know, compared to what they got now, they want a better president. So I think we're going to keep growing.
Real quick, John, why do people keep entering the race? Why do you think?
Why? Yeah. Because, I don't know. It's America, and they're entitled, and it's a free country. And, they're doing it now, so they have all summer to try. And then, you know, people that do well in a debate or do well here and there, although, you know, there probably should be playoffs before they actually get to debate Trump. So there's so many I say. Because there's a win-win other than winning. I mean, a lot of them, you know, Larry Elder's going to go back to selling, you know, relief factor or something like that after it's over. Ran for California governor, didn't win. You know, and there's people that will, maybe they want a place in the next Trump administration. That's a serious consideration, because when you look at them, a lot of them are not trashing the president. A lot of them are saying Trump was right. And they could end up being in the administrations.
Uh-oh. I think we lost John there.
I think we did.
I'll tell you what. He's back. John, you're back.
He is. Yeah.
There you go.
I didn't do that.
No? There's an Interpol. Interpol finally jammed the signal.
Not after me.
Fine. So John, we have taken up so much of your time, and we really appreciate it. I know it's the middle of the night where you are in Budapest, and we thank you so much. And where can people find out more about the work that you do, and to read some more information about the polls that you put out so ably?
Well, we have our website, McLaughlinOnline.com, and then we have you've got my Twitter handle down there at JMCLGHLN, and it's the same on Truth Social. So those are probably the best places to go. But you know, best place where most Democrats and media go look on is McLaughlinOnline.com. They check the website out.
Great.
And then sign up for our VIP emails or something like that. So.
Well, it's sure good to see you again, and I look forward to the next time where we can work together on another campaign. I've always had a good time, and I've always trust your numbers.
Well, if there's more podcasts like this, the voters will get the message. And I got a feeling we'll be working together again soon. So
You never know. All right. Thank you very much, John McLaughlin, the great
pollster
for President Trump. Thanks, John.
Thank you.